Seems like it gets worse as soon as school starts. So, and even on the secondary roads where you aren't seeing the school buses that often, it's still crazy. So, it's good that everybody made it here okay. All right, let's have an opening word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the evening. We thank you for all of us who are able to attend tonight. We pray that we will receive a blessing from your word tonight. I pray that you will be with Brother Cliff as he brings the word, that you'll be a vessel, and that we would be yielded vessels as well to receive from you what you would have for us tonight. We thank you for safety. We pray for Jason and others who are traveling right now for work or whatever it might be. You would give safety to them. For those who could not be here tonight because of illness, we pray that you would bring comfort and strength to each heart. We pray that you would be honored and glorified by all that is said and done. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we had a good time over the weekend with the Seabolts. It was always a blessing when they're here. And we had the added bonus of a breakfast on Saturday. So it's good to have everybody there. So now I guess we go back to what we would call normal. But the old saying is normal is only a cycle of a washing machine, even though most washing machines don't say that anymore. So anyway. The only announcement I can think of at this point is if you haven't looked at it already, there are photos there from Pastor Reddy and the baptistry that we helped him put together. And there are photos, older photos of them using the baptistry, and then newer ones where they show us how they fill up the baptistry and how they drain it. So they have it on the roof of their church building. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Over in India.
Wow.
So we were glad to help them with that responsibility. They used to just have to go into the rivers, and they were heavily persecuted by the Hindus over there because of that. They treat their bodies of water as gods. So they were threatened severely many times. So we're thankful that they have their own place now and don't have to worry about that. On Sunday, I mentioned that Brother Jim Lambert's birthday is this week, and I had forgotten to get a card for him like we usually do. He was one of our faithful attenders on Sunday evening when we had one of his services. And I put the card there on the organ, so if you want to look to deal with that tonight, fine. He'll still be here on Sunday if you want to do that on Sunday. But we'll get him a belated birthday card as soon as we can. So, and continue to pray for him with his physical needs as well. All right, I think that's all the announcements that I know of right now. We'll take a look at our memory verses. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. These are the theme verses of the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. All right. John 20, 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All right. Obviously, the other three gospel writers had other themes they were looking at. But John is writing to proclaim the Lord Jesus as the Son of God.
Yes.
All right, our second song is number 361, and then following that, we'll take just a moment or two for any additional prayer requests. 361. rest that we want to mention tonight. Joe?
Yeah, Brother Craig Halley is going for a rotator cuff surgery next Wednesday, and he's asking for prayer. Successful.
Do you know which one?
Yeah, his right shoulder.
His right shoulder, okay. Yes, Sam?
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear.
Yes, Craig Halley has right rotator cuff surgery coming up next week on Wednesday.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead.
I spoke with Cheryl Ryder earlier this evening. She is going to be taking a test for admissions on Monday. The 30th, I believe, is Monday, and she asked for prayer for that, and that is for faculty. She's going to apply for faculty institute.
She's not doing Lincoln Tech anymore?
No, she tried there, and they were very nice to her.
Okay. I think her original thought was to go to Falcon anyway.
It was. Changed a bit.
Daryl will catch that? Okay. My mom talked to Cheryl earlier today. Things did not work out for her at Lincoln Tech. She's going to try to go back to Falcon, the one she was interested in before. And she has an admissions test on Monday to try to get in there.
Okay.
Okay, Don, go ahead.
I saw Jim and Lucy Lambert yesterday at Sam's Club, and he texted me today and asked to say thank you to those, some did send him a birthday card that he received them, but also he has a doctor appointment tomorrow, and Lucy also has to see the eye doctor about her glaucoma, so they miss church very much.
All right, Donna saw the Lamberts at Sam's Club, what was it, yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Some had already sent cards to him, and he wanted us to say thank you to those that sent him cards already. He has an appointment tomorrow dealing with these physical issues that he's had for quite some time now. And then Lucy also has to go for her eye problems with her glaucoma. So just pray for them. They miss church a lot. It's certainly understandable. We haven't been able to have a Sunday service, evening service, for quite some time. Based on their schedule, that's when they're able to come.
Also, Pastor Reddy had called, and he did send an email that I forwarded over. He and his wife need to see the doctor for blood work and sugar testing and stuff. And there's a need for the money to do that.
More issues with their diabetes, I assume?
Well, it's routine checkups that they're supposed to have. He said they're supposed to go every 3 months, and they haven't because they didn't have the money. So they need to go and get it checked. And Samuel's wife is doing pretty well. She still has some vomiting issues, but it's getting better. So continue to pray that the pregnancy will go well.
All right. Pastor Reddy sent an email as well as calling to talk about a medical need for he and his wife to get their diabetes checked based on how severe it is. They really should be checked every 3 months. They haven't been doing that because of lack of funds to do so. So there's that need. And also, Samuel's wife is doing better. She still has some vomiting with the morning sickness, but it's getting much better. So continue to pray for her and her pregnancy as well. Barbara.
My granddaughter, Mary, who has the seizures.
Right.
She's doing very well. She has had no breakthrough seizures. She's on medicine, the same medicine I'm taking. Well, and so if she runs out, I can dilute some of mine.
Okay. Barb mentioned her granddaughter, Mary Elizabeth, last time with the seizures that she kept having, and the doctors couldn't seem to figure out what was causing them. They have her on medicine, and from the last week or so, she hasn't had any seizures at all. So we're hoping that, that this medicine is helpful to her and it keeps her on the right track.
And they need to be saved.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Spiritual needs for the whole family. Catholic background. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Brother Cliff, I'll turn it over to you.
Good evening, everyone. It's an honor to be back here with you tonight at Race Street Baptist Church. I always enjoy my time here when I come up from the Philadelphia area, and I'm glad to be here with you again tonight. And as always, I send greetings from my pastor down there, Pastor Brett Sharp, and I appreciate him giving me the opportunity, letting me come, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come and fill the pulpit this evening and be the pulpit supply. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Brother Ralph and Mrs. Freeman, for helping us with the music tonight and preparing our hearts for God's Word. Amen. Enjoy good music. Hebrews chapter 11, and one verse here, and then we'll go back to the Old Testament in just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 22, when you're there, say amen. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And when he was dying, he made mention, the Bible says here, of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It's interesting there that he made mention of something that God had mentioned on several occasions in Genesis. Hold your place there in Hebrews 11 for a minute. In Genesis 15, in Genesis chapter 15, at verse 13, God told Abraham, or Abram at that point, God told Abram in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Over in Genesis chapter 46, and God now is speaking to Jacob. In verse 2, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. I marked in my Bible there that the only time it's safe to go down to Egypt is when God tells you to go to Egypt. Amen? Most people that went to Egypt in the Bible were not going in God's will. They were going of their own will and volition. But Joseph, or Jacob, went down there. And, of course, Joseph was sold there into Egypt. Over in Genesis 48, in verse 21, and Israel said unto Joseph, Jacob, of course, Israel, Jacob's name changed to Israel, so it's synonymous here. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. So at least on three occasions there, we see where God told Abraham that his people would go down into a nation the nation of Egypt. They'd be afflicted there for 400 years, but God would bring them up out of there. He repeats that promise to Jacob. Jacob tells it to Joseph. He rehearses it with Joseph. And now Joseph is on his deathbed, and he's telling it to his brethren and to his family. And it says that he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And as a part of that promise that he's mentioning, it's a promise from God that he's claiming and that he's mentioning here. As part of that, along with the promise, he says this, he gives them a commandment. He says, when that happens, make sure you get my bones and get them out of here. Amen. Tonight, I want, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at an interesting topic tonight. I want to study Joseph's bones. Joseph's bones. We'll take a look at that here for just a few moments tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we study the life and the faith of Joseph and this interesting comment here in Hebrews 11 regarding his bones. Father, tonight we thank you for the great privilege that we have to open the Word of God. Lord, what a privilege it is to have a copy of the Bible, to be able to read it, study it, memorize it, and apply it to our hearts and lives, to be able to come to a church like this that has stood on the old King James Version of the Bible, Lord, for these many years, that has taught faithfully the truth of thy word. Lord, as we open it again tonight, Lord, I pray that we would not waste anybody's time here tonight. I pray that everybody that made their way here this evening would receive exactly the truth that you have for their lives tonight, that each and every one of us would have our needs met through the scriptures tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd comfort us, that you'd challenge us, that you'd change us, that you'd conform us into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity I have to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind a cross, and I pray that you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for these friends, Lord, that have really become my friends over the last year or so, and just thank you for this opportunity to be with them again tonight. Use me, Lord, to be a blessing, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think of the bones of Joseph. It's interesting here when you read about, when you read in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about many Bible characters who would really, we would say they stand out. We call this the Hall of Faith chapter, and these are many standout Bible characters, if you will. There's some standout Bible characters, in my opinion, that are not included in this chapter that were left out here in Hebrews chapter 11, but their stories are told in other portions of the scriptures. And Joseph's life is just mentioned here in just a couple verses, and in this one particular verse that we just read. And but it's interesting, as we read about each and every one of these, what's noted about them by God in this chapter in particular is their faith. You see, they weren't born with a cape on their back and a giant S on their chest for Superman. They weren't unusual people. They were men and women of like passions like you and I are. They had families, they had struggles, they had trials, they had tribulations, they had a home, they had jobs, they had opportunities, they had everything in the basic sense that you and I have. And they lived their life by faith. They weren't perfect, they made mistakes. We could read about those accounts in Scripture in most of their cases. But they had great faith in a great God, amen? And hopefully that's an encouragement to you and I tonight. When I think about the life of Joseph, and you read about his life there in the book of Genesis in particular, when I think about his life, when I think about the circumstances of his life and what he went through from the time he was a teenage boy there around the age of 17, and everything that he went through for the next 13 years at least and beyond, it's amazing to me that a young man like that had any faith. I mean, if you think about his life and what he went through, it's amazing that he had any faith. In fact, if I was to write the story of Joseph's life here in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you were to write the story of Joseph's life here in Hebrews chapter 11, we might have talked about his birth and his mama. We might have mentioned that. We might have talked about his brothers and how they hated him, how they were jealous, how they were envious of him. We might have talked about how he was the father's beloved child. He was the firstborn there of the favorite, Rachel, and he had the coat of many colors. It was his father's well-beloved. We might have wrote about that. We might have wrote about the betrayal that took place there when his brothers sold him there to those Ishmaelites, the band of Midianites that traveled down that road and they took him down into Egypt. We might have thought about that and talked about that. We might have even wrote about his behavior when he was tempted by a seductive woman who had no scruples and who could care less about her marriage relationship with her husband, and tempted him to commit an awful sin, and he turned and ran from that. And that wicked woman, when she couldn't get her way, she lied and concocted a story that got Joseph thrown in jail. We might have talked about that. We might have wrote about that story in Hebrews chapter 9. We might have talked about the butler, the baker. We might have talked about his Gentile bride that he married. That's a type of Christ. That's a picture of Christ, as are many other things in the life of Joseph. We might have talked about his benevolence and how he treated his brethren when they came down to Egypt to get food. God didn't speak about any of those things here in Hebrews chapter 11. All those things started with a B. What he did talk about, though, was his bones. His what? It's crazy, isn't it, to think about? But God makes mention and records here in the scriptures, he makes a special note in Hebrews chapter 11 in his eternal, unchanging, ever-abiding, ever-true, forever-settled in heaven, Word of God. Aren't you glad that God's Word is forever settled in heaven? And in the written account, God makes mention of his bones. The bones of Joseph are mentioned in three occasions in the Old Testament, and I want to walk you through them here for just a few minutes tonight. If you will, turn to the first place that we find this mention of Joseph's bones, and that's in Genesis chapter number 50. Genesis chapter 50. Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's find out what's going on here. In Genesis chapter 50, we find out first in Genesis 50, verse 24. We're coming to the end of the book of Genesis. It's interesting there that the third to the last word in the book of Genesis is a coffin. Genesis started with creation, started with life, and ends in death. Ends in death because of the consequence of sin that took place there in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And all throughout the book of Genesis, you read that this person lived and maybe he had some children and he did this or whatever, and he died. And he died. And he died. And the death toll bell just rings over and over and over and over again in the book of Genesis. And every time that I read in the Bible, and every time I read in the newspaper, every time I hear that somebody dies, it reminds me that the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He told Adam and Eve that, or he told Eve, you're not going to die. And yet she did, didn't she? And yet we face that same consequence for sin. It's appointed unto man once to die. Here's Joseph now at 110 years old, and he's about to die. And in verse 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That word surely there means certainly, verily, firmly. Joseph was convinced. He was persuaded. He was, in his mind, it was a settled matter that God had said that he was going to bring us out, and Joseph believed it, but he wasn't going to live long enough to see it come to fruition. But he wanted to make sure that his brethren and his children and his family and his posterity understood that God had promised it, and it was good as gold. It was going to happen. Amen? I'm glad that the promises of God are yea and amen, aren't you? And so he said, it's going to happen. It might not happen in my lifetime before I die, but it's going to happen. And the Bible says in verse 25, based on that sure promise that Joseph had claimed and believed, he said, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. He repeats it. And ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. He said, God's going to visit you, and when he does, you better not leave my bones here in Egypt. When you get out of this place, when you get out of this God-forsaken land of Egypt, you better take my bones with you to the promised land that God has promised to Abraham and to our people. It's interesting here that he's on his deathbed. His family had gathered, I thought about this, his family had gathered around one last time to hear what Joseph had to say. Maybe they were whispering and talking as they entered the room or the house where Joseph was. And perhaps they wondered, what is Joseph going to leave us? What is he going to bequeath us? What is he going to give to us? After all, he's second in command here of Egypt. We must be in line for some really good stuff here tonight as we go to talk to Joseph. Maybe they wondered and thought, maybe he's going to leave us a pyramid down there in the Valley of the Kings, and it's going to be filled with all kinds of treasure. And we're going to become rich because of our brother Joseph. Maybe they thought he's going to leave us his royal robe and his ring. Maybe they thought he's going to leave us mansions along the Nile River with a beautiful view. Maybe they thought he was going to leave them some great real estate property there in the land of Goshen, or a stable that was full of horses and chariots. Instead, Joseph said, I'm going to leave you my bones. That had to be disappointing for a few of those carnal brethren of Joseph at that time. But that's what he promised to leave them. For 93 years, Joseph had lived in Egypt, but Egypt had never lived in Joseph. That's an important point. I hope you get that tonight. We live in the world, don't we? But the world ought not to be in us. You know, we ought to be separate from the world. And Joseph, I believe, from what we can glean and understand and take away here from his story of his life, I think that's true for the most part, that even though he was in Egypt, Egypt was never in him. He had lived in Egypt's prisons, and he had lived in Egypt's palace, Pharaoh's palace. He had seen all of Egypt's sin and seduction, sensuality. He had seen its pomp and its pageantry and its power, Egypt being the world power at that time. He had seen Egypt's worst, and he had seen Egypt's wealth. And at the end of the day, when he had seen it all and done it all, he said, none of these things, Paul said this, but I'll borrow the phrase, none of these things move me. In fact, what sustained Joseph all by himself there in Egypt, it's interesting, I was reading one Bible commentator, he said that they doubted that Joseph even ever met one believer, one New Testament term, Christian, what the whole time he was there in Egypt. That there was a good chance, a good probability he never met one believer. And yet he had faith in God. And what sustained him? What sustained him was the promises of God from God's word that he had been taught by his father and by his family there down through his years up to the age of 17. He had gained favor with God and he had gained favor with man. But there was coming a day in Israel's history when there would arise a Pharaoh who would come to power who didn't know Joseph. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 verse 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph. Over in chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And so the first thing here, as we're reading about the bones of Joseph, the first thing I want you to see about his bones is that the bones of Joseph speak about redemption. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. The bones of Joseph speak about redemption. God had promised that he was going to deliver his people, that he was going to bring people out of his people, his chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. He was going to bring them out of Egypt. And we know that that was God's redeeming power. He's redeeming them by power. In the book of Ruth, we read about redemption through the purchase price. Here in Exodus, we read about redemption through power. And at Calvary, both took place. Amen. Redemption by God's power and by the purchase price of his own precious blood, Jesus Christ's own precious blood. And so here we read the story and we read about redemption. However, God had made a covenant with Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, many, many years ago. And he had told him what we'd already read there in Genesis chapter 15, promised again to Jacob and Joseph as we read Genesis 46 and 48. And on his deathbed, Joseph now reminding his children and his brethren of God's promise one more time before he dies. He wouldn't see it happen in his lifetime, but he wanted them to know that it was going to happen. In his dying words, Joseph would not part from the faith that he had claimed his whole life, but he's going to put on record the fact that strengthened him all through his life, the faith that sustained him throughout his life, and the fear that stirred him. And I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about Joseph's life and his faith that he had down there in Egypt. I mean, you think about how he got there in the first place, his brethren betraying him. You think about the pain that must have caused that dear young boy. Think about your own family, and if your family betrayed you, the people that you know the best, the people that you love the most, if they were to turn their back on you and sell you into a foreign country, that would be pretty painful. And the wonder, while you're there in a strange land, the wonder, as a teenage boy nonetheless, as a 17-year-old boy, the wonder if you'd ever see your family ever again. It's just an amazing story. But what a legacy of faith. What a heritage of faith he was leaving to his family. And that's such a blessing. And I got to thinking about that of myself, and I want you to think about that for yourself tonight. What legacy are you leaving your posterity? Whether you're a grandparent here tonight, or a parent here tonight, or you're just a sibling here tonight, or you're a spouse here tonight, what legacy are you leaving your family and your posterity that's going to come behind you? What heritage of faith, if you have one, are you leaving to your family? Joseph, you see here, Joseph said, you're going to leave, and when you do, carry out my bones with you. Take them with you. Joseph, Joseph preferred a significant burial over a magnificent one. He could have, as second in command to Pharaoh, he could have had, they would have shut down the whole country for a while, I'm sure, and it would have been a magnificent display of pomp and pageantry burying Joseph and his funeral procession. It would have lasted for weeks, no doubt. Joseph didn't want all that. What he wanted was, when you leave, what Joseph desired was to see the promised land. He desired that, but he wasn't going to live long enough to see God's promise come to pass. And so he made sure, he made them promise. The Bible says here that they took an oath. He took an oath. That word oath there means to be complete, to seven oneself, to swear by completing or repeating a declaration seven times. One commentator said that maybe this went on for 7 days, and every day for 7 days he made them take this oath. And seven, of course, the number of completion or perfection there in Scripture, the symbolism there, promising and completing this oath that what he had made them promise to do, they would do it. What an amazing thing. Joseph wanted to make sure that they carried this out. Christ has promised to bring us out of this world too someday, hadn't he? John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Acts chapter 1 and 11, and that promise ought to stir our hearts like the promises of God stirred Joseph's heart. We may be here when Jesus comes back. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We might be alive when the rapture takes place. That would be wonderful. We may not be. Does that mean it's not going to happen? Just means it might not happen in our lifetime, amen? We believe it's imminent. I believe it's imminent. I believe it could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen this week. It could happen anytime. But if God tarries and he is long-suffering with the lost and he gives more time for people to be saved and he allows us to stay here in this sin-cursed earth until we die someday, I'm going to go to my grave prayerfully, God willing, and by God's grace, I'm going to go to my grave believing the promises of God that he's coming back someday, amen? And that's what Joseph did. And so the first thing here I want you to see is that the bones of Joseph speak of redemption, and they say, God will bring you out. Turn with me a couple pages over to Exodus chapter 13 as we travel with the bones of Joseph here for a little bit. We go to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. The first Passover day has taken place, and Israel is on their way out of Egypt and getting ready to go to the Red Sea here. And in Exodus chapter 13, verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. The first thing we saw there was that the bones of Joseph speak of redemption. God's going to bring you out, going to bring you out of the world, going to bring you out of sin, going to bring you out of bondage. Here we see that the bones of Joseph speak of rest. They speak of rest. God's going to bring you through. God brought them out, now God's going to bring them through. Through what? He's going to bring them through the wilderness. Amen. Going to bring them through. Decades have passed, and one day God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph was now being fulfilled. Moses was carrying those bones. 400 years of bitter bondage were now over. God was bringing his people out of Egypt and through the wilderness and heading for the promised land. By the power of God, the chains of Egypt had been broken. Israel was making their exit. It's interesting, if you turn back one chapter to Exodus chapter 12, you could read the whole story there in Exodus chapter 12, but I'll just read verse 35 and 36. The children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Everybody was carrying something out of Egypt. They all had something in their hands, amen? They had gold, they had silver, they had raiment. They spoiled the Egyptians. In fact, the Egyptians were like, please take whatever you can, whatever you want, whatever you think you're going to need, take it and get out. Our firstborn child has died and we're afraid we're all going to die. Would you please just get out of our land? Get out. Take whatever you need. Go. And they found favor there that night in the eyes of the Egyptians. And one commentator wrote this. He said decades, centuries even, of slave wages were now being paid in full. Thought that was pretty good. Amen. That was pretty good. All those years of suffering and bitter bondage. And now they're carrying out all the treasures of Egypt with them. And so everybody had something in their hands. And Moses had something too. He had those old bones of Joseph. Amen. He had his old bones. What Joseph had commanded his family years before, Moses was now fulfilling. Those bones had laid in a coffin for a couple of centuries, but now they would begin their journey through the wilderness on the way to the promised land. Not without some bumps. When they came to the Red Sea here in Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites soon forgot the misery of slavery and the miracle of salvation. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, when Pharaoh drew nigh, verse 10, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. It's an amazing story there. And quickly, how quickly the Israelites had forgotten everything that God had just done for them, all the power that God just demonstrated through the 10 plagues in delivering them. And so quickly, they're already complaining. We think about them complaining in the wilderness for 40 years. They haven't even gotten to the wilderness yet, and they're already murmuring and complaining. And telling Moses, wouldn't it have been better? Didn't we tell you this? Wouldn't it have been better if we'd have just stayed in Egypt and served them for the rest of our lives? Sometimes I think Christian people feel that way. Wouldn't it have been better if we'd have just been in the world, just stayed in the world? I mean, we got saved and we got in church and we thought life was going to get better, and it just seems like it's gotten worse with all of our problems. And we get a little bitter and we complain towards God, don't we? And shame on us for that, amen? Amen? Just checking to make sure you're still with me tonight. There was no way Moses was going to forget it, though. No way. He was carrying the bones of Joseph. That was a tangible reminder in his hands of what God had promised and what God was going to do. God had said, I'm going to bring you out. And God had promised, I'm going to take you through. I got a promised land over here for you. You're going to get there. And for Joseph, that was good enough. And for Moses, that was good enough. And Moses here now trying to calm the people. And he says, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's about to do a great miracle there at the Red Sea. And he did. He brought them through across the Red Sea. Of course, the Egyptians drowned. You know the story. But though God would intervene for Israel time and time again, that generation there that was 20 years of age and older, they lacked faith. The Bible says of that generation in Genesis chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. And then this is a powerful statement about this generation of Israelites. Children in whom is no faith. Joseph had a lot of faith. In the midst of all kinds of trials and tribulations, he had faith. What was his faith in? It was in the word of God, the promises that God had given. to his people. As I think about that there at Deuteronomy, it's talking about how they were children of faith. When I read through Hebrews chapter 11, it's going basically in chronological order here through the Bible. As you read through Hebrews 11, I read down, I get to Moses there, verse 23, and I read about him and his parents, and I go all the way down here to verse 28, the Passover, verse 29, the Red Sea, verse 30 talks about the walls of Jericho. Verse 29, the Red Sea. Verse 30, the walls of Jericho. What's missing in between those two verses is the 40 years in the wilderness. There wasn't any faith to write about there, was there? They were a generation that had no faith. They lacked faith in God. And so everyone in that generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, would die and pass off the scene. God didn't want them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't his will. That wasn't his purpose or desire. He wanted to give them rest, and he wanted to give it to them immediately. But instead of looking unto God, instead of looking unto Jesus, the Israelites were always looking back to the world. Say, friend, dear Christian friend tonight, when the trials of life come into your life, and it's easier to say than to talk than to do, I know, trust me. But when the trials come into life, what do you look to? Do you look to the Lord who's never failed you? Or do you look back to the world for help? Joseph never did, and it seems to hear that Moses had his eyes on the prize and getting to the promised land, even though he would get angry and not get there. But they did not have the faith that Joseph had. They didn't cling to the promises that God had given. The very same promises they had at their disposal that Joseph had, that God was going to bring them out and bring them through. God was going to redeem them. God was going to give them rest. There's a third mention of the bones of Joseph I want to mention in closing tonight. And that's at the end of the book of Joshua. The bones of Joseph speak of redemption. They speak of rest. They also speak of resurrection. Joshua 24 and verse number 32. It's interesting that the book of Joshua ends basically the same way the book of Genesis does. Talking about somebody's bones. The bones of Joseph. Verse 32, the bones of Joseph and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. God will bring you out. God will bring you through. God's going to bring you up someday. Amen. God's going to bring you up someday, amen? Whether we live long enough to see Jesus come back in our lifetime or we die before he does, if you die in Christ and you're buried in that grave where they put you in that coffin and they lay you to rest 6 feet under the ground, we know that that's just a shell right there, amen? For to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. And that body is going to come out of that ground corruptible. It's going to be changed incorruptible. And we're going to have a new body. We're going to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. That's going to happen whether we're alive when it happens or not. But God's going to bring us up. God's going to bring us up. The bones of Joseph have now made their full earthly journey. They've come out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't know. I mean, he's dead, right? Think about that. I mean, if you could think of, as a dead person, he might have to be frustrated. Amen. My bones are going to wander around for 40 years because of your lack of faith. And now they're finally going to be buried in the promised land. You see, the patriarchs, they coveted a burial in the promised land of Canaan. Perhaps it was because they knew that in the promised land, one day would visit the promised Lord. Isn't that something? I mean, 1,500 years before it happened, the patriarchs had faith in God. That what God, what word of God they had, they didn't have a completed scripture like we have. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have much of the Old Testament. But what they had, they believed it. And they trusted it. And they staked their lives in it. And they put down not roots in this earth and in this world, but they were laying up treasures in heaven. Amen? Think about the passage over there in Matthew chapter 27 as we close this up here in just a moment. Matthew 27, the Bible says this. This is while Christ is on the cross here, Genesis chapter 27, verse 50. Matthew 27, 50. When he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That's an amazing story right there. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. It doesn't tell us the names, but it just says some of the saints of old whose bodies had been asleep for a while in their graves when Jesus arose, some of them arose and walked around the holy city of Jerusalem. Amen. I don't know who they were, but maybe Joseph was one of them walking around in his resurrected body, amen? Out of those graves. That's an amazing thing to think about. The grave is not our final resting place, dear friend. And we thank God for that. For those of us who will die someday in Christ, or for those of us who will meet the Lord in the air, we're getting called up out of here. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the promises of God are packed and loaded in those passages of Scripture telling us about Christ's soon return and what he's going to do for us when that happens. Joseph believed God's promises. It was the word of God that guided him through the circumstances of his life. His living faith and his dying faith were a declaration to every Israelite and even every Egyptian that our God is real. Our God is real. Abandonment didn't shrink him. Adversity didn't shake him off course. Accusations, the false accusations that came upon him in his life, especially by those like Potiphar's wife, they didn't sour him. Advancement didn't spoil him. Here he was. He had been left basically to rot in Egypt. And he still held on to the faith in God's word that he had. Amen. And when he got out of prison, and when he got away from those false accusations, and he was elevated to second in command, at that point, sometimes people who still trust in God when they're going through the hardships of life, now the coin flips and they're on the other side and they're up here and they're in prosperity. Sometimes that's when people forget God. It was the wise man there in Proverbs said, don't let me be poor, don't let me be rich, just give me what I need, amen. If I'm poor, I might steal. If I'm rich, I might forget who my God is. Just let me have what I need for today. Just give me what I need. What a wise prayer that was, amen. And here's Joseph. He's been at the bottom, and now he's at the top, and through it all, he kept his faith in the word of God. What a testimony of faith, the life of Joseph. I got to close with this. I don't know who this would impact in this room here tonight. Joseph's life, we pick up his life. I mean, we read about his birth, but we really don't start picking up major details of his life until he's a teenager. Correct? Well, he's 17 now when he's sold. So we don't have a lot of details there from the time he was born until he's 17. But I can only imagine that in those 17 years, somebody was pouring the word of God into that little boy's heart and into his mind and teaching him the scriptures. And everything that they knew that God had told them, they were passing it on to Joseph. I believe they probably were passing it on to all the 12 sons. Some of them missed it, didn't get it, didn't care. Joseph did. And he paid attention. And that's significant because now at the age of 17, he's getting thrust out into the world, not by his own choice, but by his brethren's choice, selling him basically into slavery. And he's going to go away from home, never to return again. He's going to be gone for the next 93 years of his life. And yet he never forgot the promises of God. I don't know what impact you might have on a child or a young person in your life at this point. But that's significant to me in reminding me that we must do everything we can to pour the word of God into them while they're young, while they're young. Paul told Timothy, he said, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You had a godly grandmother and a godly mother, and they poured the Word of God into you, Timothy. How valuable that is, isn't it? Maybe you're a grandparent here tonight, and you're not going to have children anymore, but you've got some grandchildren, amen? You've got some great-grandchildren. When you get those kids, man, pour the Word of God into them, amen? Pour the Word of God into them, because you never know. You never know which one of them is going to be the next Joseph. Amen? God used Joseph in a great way. And I think about that as I think about the bones of Joseph. His bones. God will bring you out. He's going to redeem you. God's going to bring you through to a land of rest. And God's going to bring you up someday. Speaking of his resurrection power. And Joseph, by faith, believed all of it. And lived for God even in a dark, sin-cursed world. May that challenge us tonight in our faith. And not only in ours, but what we pass on to others as a heritage of faith here at this church, with your family. God bless you as you do it. Father, tonight, I pray that you'd help us, strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We see that there in 1 John chapter 5. We have that great song of the faith in our hymn books. We know, Lord, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Joseph heard the Word of God, and he believed it. Lord, I pray that when we hear it, when we read it, when we see the Word of God, may we too believe the promises of God, and may they change our lives in the way that we live. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.